This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, I almost called it a Friday. I'm in a Friday mood. On a wonderful Wednesday. So we're going to talk about the world of make-believe here in a moment, created in large part by the communists in this country. We'll talk about that. Then we'll get to emails and other fun stuff this hour. But I have a piece of audio that I promised you. And this audio, it can be a little difficult to hear. And the reason it's a little difficult to hear is this young lady is wearing a mask. Who is this young lady? Her name is Violet Affleck. She is the daughter of a couple Hollywood stars, Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. I'm not a big Hollywood person, but the important thing is she is 19 years old. And I don't think I'll be able to bring myself to mock her because I find this to be so incredibly sad. If you are a Democrat listening to this show, one of the Democrats who hate listen, I want you to listen to this and I want you to ask yourself, you don't have to reach out. You don't have to tell me anything. Do you want your child to be this broken, afraid, and miserable? To raise your child as a Democrat is to shatter their soul. It's to take away any chance they have at happiness. This is a 19-year-old girl. A 19-year-old girl should be happy, hanging out with friends, maybe has a job, maybe she's already got a husband, a boyfriend, maybe she's on family vacations. Maybe she's learning how to cook. Maybe she's going to college if you send her to Hillsdale. A 19-year-old girl should be pretty and happy and life is good. Listen to this broken, broken child. This was her addressing the United Nations.
Every subsequent infection increases the risk of long COVID and places people who already have it in greater danger.
She just referenced, by the way, long COVID. And I want to stress, this is not audio from 3 years ago. This is audio from yesterday. Yesterday, this 19-year-old girl, a mask strapped to her face, is addressing the United Nations about long COVID.
Every subsequent infection increases the risk of long COVID and places people who already have it in greater danger. Here's what we don't know, is what it does to reinfect children over and over and over again with no end point in sight from the day they are born. We are about to find out. As Dr.
COVID doesn't affect children at all. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nothing.
Kiko Iwasaki says, at this point, the whole population is the control group. And after only 5 years, long COVID has surpassed asthma as the most common chronic illness in children. 5 years. I am terrified for the children who do not or soon will not know a world without debilitating pain and exhaustion, who cannot trust their bodies to play, explore, and imagine, and who will not know the potential of their own minds unfettered by the cognitive damage from a COVID-19 infection. And I am furious on their behalf. It is neglect of the highest order to look children in the eyes and say, we knew how to protect you, and we didn't do it. We have access to a technology to prevent airborne disease, something that millions of our ancestors and millions of people around the world today would kill for, and we refuse to use it. And I shudder to think of where we will be in another 5 years of unmitigated infection and reinfection.
19 years old. Where is that young lady when she's 29? When she's 39? when she's 49. Where is she? Broken. Completely miserable. Completely miserable. Because her parents indoctrinated her with modern communism. She now lives in a world of make-believe, and she's miserable at 19. Now, let's remember that communists create and maintain that world of make-believe. I want to introduce you to a Susan Wojcicki. She's the former head of YouTube, I believe. Former head of YouTube. The Biden administration was run by communists, as you well know. He didn't run anything. Communists like Anita Dunn were running the United States of America. And they did all the things communists do within the constraints of the United States of America's legal system. They silenced, crushed, arrested their political opponents, silenced all forms of dissent. Listen closely to what happened. These kinds of things lead to broken 19-year-old girls who will live a life of misery.
With regard to COVID and with regard to vaccines, that has been a top priority for us. So first of all, we want to make sure that if there's information that violates our policies, we came up with 10 different policies around COVID. Then if that's a violation of policies, then that's something that we'll remove. We removed over 1 million videos associated with COVID.
They removed 1 million videos from YouTube. Let me ask you something. Do you think those videos were telling people the truth? Of course they were. For the most part. I mean, I'm sure there were some that weren't, but 1 million videos taken off the internet so people like that 19-year-old girl were unable to find the truth. Now, Susan, why'd you remove those videos?
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
I wonder if there's anything that you see in, you know, the way that anti-vaxxers behave on the platform, if there are any data or insights there that could be helpful to people understanding where they're coming from.
I mean, we try to understand what are the different ways that we can break through. So we talked about in this campaign that we did about getting back to the things that you love. So what we really tried to do was get not just from the experts, but also people that were not experts, but who were explaining, like, why did they take the vaccine? Why was that relevant for them? And what was their thought process?
I'm going to play that for you one more time, because the answer to the reporter's question is so fascinating. The reporter essentially asks her, these people who are anti-vaxxers, as she calls them, she's kind of asking, well, do they have a point? Do you want to understand them? Listen to the answer. There's no attempt to understand them. The attempt is to either force them or manipulate them. I don't need to understand anything. I'm right. You're evil. I will censor you or convince you. In fact, I'll threaten you. I love how she brought up the old COVID threat. Because this took place a while ago, the threat they kept trying to use to manipulate you, don't you want your life back? I'll give you your life back if you do what you're told.
Have you talked to the Biden administration at all about vaccine hesitancy or vaccine misinformation?
Well, we did an event actually with the Biden administration, including President Biden himself, with a number of creators, Fauci as well.
I wonder if there's anything that you see in, you know, the way that anti-vaxxers behave on the platform, if there are any data or insights there that could be helpful to people understanding where they're coming from.
See what the reporter just asked. Is there any way, you know, people can understand where they're coming from? Listen to how revealing this answer is.
I mean, we try to understand what are the different ways that we can break through. So we talked about in this campaign that we did about getting back to the things that you love. So what we really tried to do was get not just from the experts, but also people that were not experts, but who were explaining, like, why did they take the vaccine? Why was that relevant for them? And what was their thought process?
Evil people who have created this world of make-believe, and it's breaking people. It's not just turning people violent. That's obviously the worst of it. Soon you have a guy grabbing a rifle, shooting at ICE agents.
assassinating his political opponents, Nazis in his mind. That's the worst of it. But how many people, ones who won't go on to kill, how many people will live lives of complete misery because they live in this world of make-believe? A world designed to lie to them and to make them miserable. How miserable is the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life? Chris, I know yours, buddy. Does she light up a room when she walks in? Is she content, happy, smiling, joking, laughing? Or is she always angry? They're breaking people's souls, and it makes me very, very angry. Because most of these people know they're lying. They're doing it on purpose. I hate it. All right, it's email time. Before we do some emails, let's get your dog taken care of. Let's get your cat taken care of. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, former Green Beret, by the way, created Rough Greens for dogs because he knew dogs were dying too early because they didn't get nutrition. So he creates this wonderful product that's now the number one dog supplement in America, where you sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. Your dog gets to live longer and healthier and better coat and everything else. But because he's a kinder man than I am, he decided to do an outreach for cat owners as well, and he does deserve credit for that. There is Meow Greens for your kitty. Your cat needs vitamins and minerals and probiotics and antioxidants, and Rough Greens has that. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? Do you want a happier, healthier pet that's at the vet a lot less? RoughGreens.com, promo code Jesse gets you a free jumpstart trial bag, or you can call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, the other night you mentioned your Jesse Kelly briefs. I checked them out on YouTube. I've never laughed so hard. No wonder you were picked to do a three-hour gig on the radio. I love the show. I listen every night on 105.9 KNRS. I love KNRS. Look, it didn't go from, I want to be clear, it didn't go right from Jesse Kelly brief to a nationally syndicated radio show. Granted, it happened very quickly, but it went from that to a one-hour late at night radio show on the local radio station, KPRC here in Houston. I love them. And that got super popular. And so they made it a two-hour show. And then that got picked up by another national syndication company. And they put it on, I think it was like 10 cities. How many cities were we on, Chris? 10, 12 cities or something like that? Yeah, something like that. 10, 12 cities. And then I got the phone call. Every single person who does what I do wants. Every single person who does what I do dreams about. And no one ever gets it. It's very rare. There's only so many spots. I got the call from Premier Networks saying, hey, you want to come do radio for us? It's amazing. I remember I was, I had been told, I don't know if I should give out her name. I'd probably get in trouble if I give out her name. I'm not going to give out her name. The big cheese at Premier, I love her. I had been told that she wanted to speak to me, and I was thinking, why? Okay. But Ob was there, and we were on our back porch, and call, it's on speakerphone, and she just says, hey, you want to come do your show for us? And I remember looking at Ob, and she's looking at me, and we're like, what? No way. Yeah. Jesse, what do we do when it's a family member who has fallen into the arms of the communists? I know some will say cut them out, but it's my sister and my heart couldn't take it. We were raised by conservative parents. The only difference in upbringing is she went to college and I did not. We don't normally talk about politics, but with Charlie's death, I expressed how heartbroken I was. Her only response was to ask where all the sympathy was for the Annunciation victims. It's hard to receive this level of emotional manipulation from my own flesh and blood. First of all, I am sorry. not just to you, but to anybody who is going through this with a family member. It does hurt, I know. When it's your sister, it hurts. Your mother, your father, it hurts. And I'm probably most heartbroken for parents, because we get those emails a lot. Jesse, I lost my daughter in college. She's a communist now. Jesse, I lost both my sons. They married communists now. Jesse, those hit me very hard because, as you know, I have two sons, James and Luke. And while I'm certainly not father of the year, I just adore them. I love them. I got home last night after the show. It was late, but Ob's out of town. Threw him in the car. We went out for pizza. It was wonderful. Just laughed. They're such idiots. Just laughed. And I hear your stories about losing your child, and I can't help but, because I'm a selfish person, I can't help but make it about me and look at my kids and think, what if that happens to one of my boys? And it would devastate me. It would devastate me if I lost one of my boys. So I sympathize completely, okay? I sympathize completely. I'm sorry you're going through that. I will say this, and I think I've told you this before. One of Ob's friends, this is years and years and years ago, had a husband who was a severe alcoholic. I'm talking whiskey in your coffee in the morning kind of alcoholic. Really, really bad. Really bad. And she wanted him to stop drinking and she was pouring her heart and soul out to Ob and I one night about how I'm trying to get him to stop. And because she still loved him, right? And tell you the same thing I told her is, you know, I know you love him and I know you're married to him, but you have to understand for now, he has another wife. He's married to alcohol right now. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but he doesn't love you the most right now. But it also doesn't mean it's going to last forever. And by the way, he did come out of it. Went to rehab, cleaned up his life. They're still together. It has a happy ending, right? It has a happy ending. Maybe that will happen to your sister. People do wake up from the sick demonic religion of communism. They do. They do. It is something that happens. It happens a lot. And at a time where we're at right now, I mean, you wake up, they're trying to kill ICE agents. They're assassinating our political leaders. Where their true demonic evil nature comes out, this is a time when more people will wake up than ever before. You know, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I've seen multiple accounts of Democrats saying, I'm leaving. I'm not part of this. I'm not saying they're all coming and becoming Republicans or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I've seen multiple Democrats come out and say, this is not me. No, I'm not doing this at all. And then the Democrat response where they were all celebrating it, that turned more people off of, hey, whoa, that's gross. I'm not taking part in that. Just keep praying for your sister. Right now, she's not necessarily your sister. She has a different sibling. But that doesn't mean she can't go back and be your sister again. All right? All right. Let's talk about Japan next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. We're going to do a bunch more emails here. Before I do some emails, I know that people like you who are desperate to save the country, to get rid of the communists, I know that at times you can express frustration with the Trump administration, and I understand that, and you should. You don't ever be a pom-pom waver or a male or a man worshiper of anybody. Nobody. You should. I've loudly criticized Trump multiple times before, but I am extremely impressed with this administration so far. Now, whenever I say that, people will point out, well, they're not doing this, or they're not doing that, or they haven't done this. And you're right. Whatever you're saying, you're probably right. But this is such a better Trump administration than the first one. And there are good things happening. And they are saying so many of the right things with the right ideas. Stephen Miller, I don't know him. I've never met him. One of the National Security Advisors, Stephen Miller, is a very prominent guy. If you ever turn on the news, you see him out there talking. Man, this guy is impressive. I like that we're finally getting to the point where we're addressing legal immigration, because the pillow soft conservatism that we've experienced for so many years has always taken this line. I mean, I love legal immigration, just not illegal immigration. We should have a wide gate, but high walls, stupid, lame stuff like that. Well, mass immigration does not become wonderful just because they make it legal. That's not how that works. Yes, people can immigrate to your country. They should take time. It should be done the right way. It should be a fact that they are people who will help enrich your country and improve your country. And you never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, take people en masse from one country. Because when you do that all at once, they don't assimilate. They just all gather together and wherever they gather. And soon there's a Muslim call to prayer in Minneapolis. That's why you don't do that ever. Legal immigration, though, it is a huge problem in this country, as employers have abused the H-1B visa system to find a way to cheat you out of a job, hand your job to a foreigner who will work for less, and you're out on the streets. Nobody in politics has spoken like that in a long time, maybe that I've ever heard. Here was Stephen Miller.
What we can't do is have a system that deprives Americans of an opportunity to contribute to their own country. And we cannot have a policy in America where every citizen of this country, whether looking for a job, whether looking for housing, whether they're looking for a government benefit in a time of need, has to compete with all of planet Earth. Because then you're not a nation anymore. At that point, you're just a world economy.
Wonderful to hear that kind of talk. Shogun, I'm heading to Japan for 2 weeks soon. I'm looking for advice on historical spots to hit. I got the Tokyo Imperial Palace, Hiroshima, and even a sweet-sounding samurai and ninja museum. Chris, find out about the samurai and ninja. What? Can you dig in, please? Find out about the samurai and ninja museum. I promise not to start any illegal fires like you. Any other must-see spots? Okay, I have something you have to do in Japan. Now, keep in mind, by the way, when I was in Japan, I was in the Marine Corps training. So we didn't get to the Tokyo Imperial Palace, okay? We didn't get to do a bunch of touristy stuff. We were training. And when we did go to Tokyo a couple times, we were more focused on other things. What, Chris? Other things. I will tell you this, though. There is one thing you have to do. Have to do. Eat at McDonald's. No, I'm not making a joke. Stop. I'm really not. I'm not making a joke. I thought they were making a joke at me when the older Marines who had been to Japan had said, we have to eat at McDonald's. You have to try it. You have to try it. I said, okay, look, I love McDonald's as much as the next man. I don't think I need to eat it in Japan. They said, no, you don't understand. You need to try it here. It is one of the best cheeseburgers I have ever eaten in my entire life. Now, maybe, that is because I'd been away from America for a long time. But they told me it's something to do with their food regulations and the meat they use or whatever it is. It was so good. I went every time. I think we went to Tokyo 3 or 4 times because we had a night or something like that. It was the first place we went when we got off the train. We went right to McDonald's to eat every time. It was that good. What, Chris? What? Chris said, but your base camp made horrible food. Not necessarily. At our, where we were in Japan, and I forget, we were close to Mount Fuji. I forget the name of the base. We were close to Mount Fuji. There was okay chow there. It wasn't MREs and things like that. There was okay chow. And there was a bar and grill there on the base. They actually had these incredible cheesy bacon. I was going to call them roll-ups, but like a taquito type thing. Take kind of a flaky tortilla, and they had it stuffed full of cheese with bacon bits in it. And they'd serve it with ranch. Delicious. It wasn't bad. Okay, so it's not like, look, we were not at war. It was a base with legitimate food options. I want to stress that we were eating fine when we were there. Go to McDonald's. Go to McDonald's. I know you're going to make fun of me. I'm not lying. And I'm not. It was not a joke. Go to McDonald's. Hey, Giant Jesse, is it possible for someone to be too tall? I was at a theme park recently. And one roller coaster had not only a minimum height, but a maximum height, 77 inches. So I guess you would just have to envision how much fun it is. Okay. Also, you'd have to take note that women rule at bumper cars. My husband snarked that it was a byproduct of our driving skills. But again, that is just simple jealousy. All right. Her name's Mary. First, I am 80 inches tall. I have been to many theme parks in my fully grown state because, you know, kids, we actually went to Six Flags one time in the Marines, which I'll get to in a moment. And boy, did my buddies have a blast getting on the rides and watching me have to stand there and watch them ride the rides. It's unbelievably common how many rides I'm too tall for. It's a simple safety thing. I'm too tall for. And yes, there's such a thing as too tall. Look, you are as God made you, and I am as God made me. And I'm not, Lord, I'm not questioning anything. But I tell people all the time, look, tall is great. You want to be tall. The dimes love it. But you really want to stop about 6'4". 6'3", 6'4", that's about where you want to stop. I'm 6'8". See, Chris is tall. You got to be 6'2", Chris. Got to be close to that. 6 foot. Okay, Chris is 6 foot. That's a great height. At 6'8", life becomes extremely inconvenient sometimes. I'm not whining. It's better than being Italian. No, stop. It's better than being 5'8", but I can't go into JCPenney and buy pants anymore. I can't go to Walmart and grab pants. Shirts are a nightmare. Ob has to scour the internet to find shirts. This is another reason, by the way, I'm a huge Cozy Earth fan because they have stuff that actually fits me. Shirts are hard to find. It's hard to find stuff that fits. Shoes. No one has 14s. Nobody has 14s. 13 is about all they do. So you have to order it online without trying it on. You know they never fit when you order it. Now you've got to go down to the post office. You've got to send it back and get your money back. When I fly, I have to fly either first class, which is expensive, or get an emergency exit row. Yes, there's such a thing as too tall. No question about it. And there's also no question that Legacy Box is wonderful. Right now, during the break, if I want to see my father, who I lost, as you know, it's on my phone. I have that on my phone. VHS tapes that have been digitized on my phone. If you have Super 8 film, cassette tapes, photo negatives, Legacy Box will hand digitize these things. It's not just so you have them on your phone, so you have them forever. They send you a box. You take those precious memories, load them in the box, send it to Legacy Box in Tennessee, not in China, not in Cambodia, Tennessee. A family company in Tennessee, and they will digitize it by hand and send you your hard copies back along with digital copies. That means your great-great-great-grandkids get to see you. That's powerful. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we shall return tomorrow on a Thursday. If you miss me, if something's on your mind, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, at their heart, most of them are just theater
probably
kids.
Probably going to have the biggest audience of his career, and he can say just about anything. In some ways, Kimmel's now the safest person on TV, you know, with the most freedom, the most autonomy, because ABC has actively, constructively chosen to bring him back on television, despite President Trump's criticism, despite the FCC's threats, despite all of this attention in the past week.
They brought him back for contractual reasons, you moron. And a bunch of these distributors are still not playing his show, and they're not going to renew his deal. But again, they have to make everybody an idol. They have to immediately create this idol worship in everybody. The communists do it all the time. Hillary Clinton's an evil hag.
The idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology.
They're very obvious with who they think is the enemy. And they operate as if that person is the enemy. White people are the enemy. Christians are the enemy. This is how they operate. Remember, they're fighting a war. They are fighting a war. And remember, violence is what they want. You can keep screaming and yelling about the rhetoric all you want. They should stop, tone down the rhetoric. And that's fine if you're calling for that. But it's never going to happen because they wake up in the morning and see an ICE facility shot up and they are happy. These things move the revolution forward. And they do have an effect because now, from now on, ICE is going to have more security. We are going to have to put more resources into it. At every event now that's an outdoor event, people are going to be going to have to be behind bulletproof glass, or you're going to have counter snipers or drone coverage, or the violence of the communists is going to have an effect. It just is. And this is why they speak like this.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
UC Irvine has a professor. Her name is Catherine Liu. Remember that scumbag who assassinated the United Healthcare CEO in New York? Listen to this.
Friends on the left with whom I had massive disagreements. I thought, you know what? I want CEOs to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And I take a totally different position with that because I still think the class war is the only war worth fighting.
Does she sound upset that a man was gunned down? A husband? A father? She's not upset. It's what she wants. She wants people to be afraid. These people are evil. Let's do some emails. Jesse, I was listening to your podcast from Friday, responding to the guy who asked you if your beard was more full after taking chalk. I'm 30 years old. I've had a full beard since I was 15. Gosh, that's amazing. I couldn't grow a full beard when I was 15. Anyway, I've been taking chalk for 2 years, thanks to you, and have noticed my beard has gotten even more luscious. But the real thing I noticed is my chest hair has exploded. I'm single. When I go to the bars, my top button or two on my shirt is always popped. The ladies love it. I've been half tempted to tell them, hey, eyes up here. But I love the attention. My future wife is so lucky. She just doesn't know it yet. Thank you, Chalk. And he says his name is Andrew. I never thought about the chest here. Hold on. I mean, I don't know. I've got some chest here. What, Chris? Don't make a meme out of me looking down my shirt at my chest here. Don't do that. That's not very nice. It is kind of thick. I mean, I don't have a lot, but it's kind of thick. Thank you, Chuck. I owe it to you. Don't worry, ladies. You're not going to grow chest hair. You don't have to stress that. They have a female vitality stack for you. male vitality stack for the dudes, female vitality stack for the dimes, and you get a huge discount on subscriptions at chok.com/Jesse. chok.com/Jesse. Dr. Meat, as a northerner, I'm curious how you southerners deal with spiders and snakes. I've always thought about moving south, but I don't particularly fancy the thought of a hospital trip for not checking my work boots in the morning. You're probably overinflating that a bit. Yes, I do dump out my shoes in the morning, but it's not like there are poisonous snakes slithering over your feet when you walk around. It's not that. Most of the snakes are harmless. Yeah, that's right, gardener snakes and things like that. Look, you're going to love living in the South. If you are a northerner, you are going to enjoy living in the South. The pace may frustrate you a little. It's much, much slower paced. You're going to get in a gas station behind somebody, and you're going to want to have your hot Cheetos or whatever in your hand, and in front of you is going to be a dude or a woman who's going to strike up a several minutes long conversation with the cashier, and you are going to want to pull out your hair. Those are little things, but in the end, I love living in the South. I've lived in the North. I've lived everywhere, really. I love it down here. Yeah, the summers are awful. It's indefensible. The summers are awful. In Florida and Texas and Bama and Mississippi and Georgia, the summers are brutal. That's life.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Mamdani surges to a double-digit lead over rivals in New York City mayoral contest. You get what you get, New York City. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Roy Cooper's racial equity task force pushed soft-on-crime policy that released Irina Zarutska's killer from jail. Cooper calls it a major accomplishment. All soft-on-crime policies that they push, you already know the whole design behind it and why they do it, but it's basically you can't arrest and imprison black people policy, and that's just no way to live your life. If you commit a crime, no matter your color, you should be arrested and thrown in prison. But because they hate white people, that's not how they operate. Gun Rights Coalition blasts big banks for, quote, whitewashing and debanking attacks and demands a pledge. People seem to forget that gun manufacturers are routinely attacked by major financial institutions in this country. It is one of those kind of soft political war things that happens. And if it hasn't affected you personally, you don't talk about it as much, but it's a big deal. I think you're very talented. Kamala Harris invited race-baiting Jasmine Crockett to her house to groom her as a Democratic Party rising star, the book reveals. Yes, she most definitely is a rising star, and I want to encourage the Democrat Party to make Jasmine Crockett the face and voice of your party. Get her out there everywhere. Have her tour the Midwest and tell people this is what Democrats are. I will see you tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.